What are the similarities between the founders of Islam and Mormonism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is The American Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Founder of Mormonism. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can purchase The American Muhammad by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The American Muhammad, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come.
The third stanza of the baptism hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. Baptism is for life. That doesn't just mean that it sticks for life. It means that it is for everyday life. And baptism provides not only the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation, just as Scripture teaches, it also provides something we greatly need, an antidote to the fear that we often live with in everyday life. Joining us to talk about baptism and courage, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Baptized for This Moment. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. How you doing today?
Doing well. You've written recently that if ever the church needed courage, it's now. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't want to give the impression that we should think we're somehow unique in the history of the church, although every era has its own uniqueness. I guess somebody once quipped, you're just like everybody else, you're absolutely unique. But in our times, we face tremendous, tremendous demographic challenges and philosophical challenges to the future of the church. And there are a number of things that are very evident to people. The recent debate on marriage, of course, that is not merely, even as many in the church, and I would say conservative churches think this is merely a granting of broader tolerance. This is a complete redefinition of what it means to be human and will have huge ramifications for the life of the church into the future. Those proponents of this idea, and this is something many people don't realize, proponents of the idea are hot on the case, proposing legislation and even enacting legislation to severely restrict the rights of religious people to act according to their conscience in the public sphere. So, for instance, you have already legislation being proposed in California, for instance, where nonprofit organizations, if they do not accept the leadership of openly homosexual individuals, they would lose their tax status. This is the kind of thing that will come hot and heavy. We're being driven out of the adoption business and any contracts with the state. It will come, especially eventually, it will come to senior care facilities that the church owns and operates if they don't capitulate. So we are in for difficult times. And I would say, secondarily, the Pew study came out last fall, the famous study on the so-called nuns, that is, people who claim no religious affiliation. 1 in 3 below the age 30 do not claim any affiliation with any religion. And of all people, 1 in 5. Now, what's significant about that is that the World War II generation had something like 1 in 16 not claiming affiliation. So we are on the same demographic trajectory as Europe regarding Christianity. So this is a challenging moment for the future, no doubt about it.
And it's not like we have a choice, really. I mean, part of the wisdom of that notion that you talked about a few minutes ago, that we have our own unique challenges, but we face them here and now. We can't go back to when things were different, and we can't go forward to where we hope things will be different. We're here, we're now, this is where God has put us. What are your thoughts there?
I've just got to believe, because I believe in Christ and his cross, that all things are purposeful, that the Lord, as Luther believed, the Lord removes his gospel for unthankfulness, and the blessing of the gospel on this nation is being moved, and we are in challenging times. So this is our moment, though, to live here and now, and we have to grab hold of the promises of God and think about especially all those Christians throughout history who have suffered horrendous moments, horrendous times, and we must confess. We've been given a certain amount of joy knowing that in other places in the world at this moment, for instance in Africa, you have Lutheran churches growing exponentially, and we have increasing numbers of partners all over the world, which is a delight to behold, and it presents all kinds of problems, but it's a delight, even as we in the West face this deep, deep demographic and hostile philosophical challenge.
What does baptism have to do with what you just said and with the source of the church's courage in times like these?
Yeah, I don't know if it was Karl Barth, maybe it was, who said, courage is fear that has been baptized. And that's kind of a nice jingle. I'd prefer to say courage. I'd prefer to say the courage is faith that has been baptized, or that has put us on the road to being who we should be at this moment, caused us to stand firm. This is who we are. Luther said, despite everything, nevertheless, I am baptized, baptizatus zum. I am baptized, and that means the Lord has his hand on me. He's grabbed me by the neck. He's called me to a vocation, numerous vocations, to live at just this moment. And he's promised he'll never leave us or forsake us. He says, come to me, all you're weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He gives us his precious word. His word does not return void. And so we have the moment to live right now. On the positive side, 1 in 3 people under 30 have our tabula rasa. They basically have no understanding or knowledge or no misinformation about, very little misinformation even about Christianity. So we have opportunities.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Pastor Matt Harrison about baptism and courage. Now, he has used a term, a very interesting term, called mission reductionism. In the old days, they talked about gospel reductionism, where everything was boiled down to the gospel and nothing else that Scripture taught by way of law or by way of doctrine really mattered, as long as you just had the nude gospel. What does he mean by mission reductionism? We'll answer that question right after this.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine on the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education wishes to invite all Issues, Etc. listeners to its 13th annual conference hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary this July 16th through the 18th. For the first time, we will be featuring 3-day intensive in-service opportunities in such areas as teaching Latin, classroom design and management, Christian and non-Christian worldviews, classical Lutheran pedagogy. Please join us for our best conference yet.
You can find out more about the Consortium on Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, July 16th through the 18th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ccle.org, ccle.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Here's a special offer for Issues, etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues, etc. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Just a little bit of the Easter hymn, If Christ Had Not Been Raised from Death, playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio. It's our 24-hour internet station that plays sacred music all the time. And since it's Easter, we're playing primarily Easter music at Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world. You know, I've often said to our listeners that I don't listen to my own show. Everything's a rerun to me. But when I had time off during Holy Week, guess what I listened to? I listen to Lutheran Public Radio. It makes a great soundtrack for your everyday Christian life. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We're talking about baptism and courage. Matt, you wrote in your article in the Lutheran Witness about what you call mission reductionism. You say it's a tool of the devil to pit one truth against another. Mission reductionism, what is it?
Well, you can't take the gospel and then start to say parts of the catechism really can be jettisoned for the sake of the gospel. So, well, we're going to concentrate on speaking the word, but baptizing people gets in the way of the mission. That would be to pit the gospel against the gospel. We're going to share the gospel and work at building the church, but we don't need pastors to do it. Well, the Lord gives us pastors to dispense the word and sacraments, so that would be pitting the Lord's gift against the gospel. That causes a sort of mission reductionism. In the 70s, it was very popular among us, and it's very popular elsewhere now, to say that as long as you have the gospel in a very sort of narrow sense, then all of a sudden the law is not necessary, or prescriptions against, say, gay marriage or other issues are not prescriptions anymore that have anything to do with the gospel. You reduce the message of God from the whole counsel and transgress what Jesus said when he said that we should go, therefore, unto all nations, teaching them everything whatsoever I have commanded you.
So let's talk about that word that you used a moment ago, the word confess, because in Christian parlance, it has two legitimate, very distinct meanings. And both of them, oddly enough, are related to our baptism. The first one is to confess as in to repent. Mm-hmm. And the second is to confess as to profess or proclaim. Why are both so important now for the church?
There's actually three uses in the New Testament to confess sins. They went to the River Jordan confessing their sins. And look, if you aren't a sinner, you don't have a Savior. It's just as simple as that. Luther said to his friend Spainlein, well, you found out you're a real sinner. He was despairing over his sin. You found out you're a real sinner like the rest of us. Be a hard-boiled sinner like us too. Christ comes only for sinners. Christ dwells only in sinners. And if we lose sight of that, we become simply hypocrites, and we deserve whatever the wretched society can throw at us. We are not holier than thou. We are nothing but sinners who invite others to come be sinners with us to receive grace and mercy. And then the New Testament uses the word confess for the content of the faith, the strong confession. He who confesses with his lips that Jesus is Lord, believes in his heart, shall be saved. That God raised him from the dead shall be saved. So there's a confession, which is to say the same thing God has said to us. God speaks in his word, we confess the content of that word back to him, and we have a solid confession. I'm going to stand where the Word of God stands and make that confession. That's what the Lutheran confessions do. That's what the small catechism does. And then there's a third use, which brings it all together, and that is confession as praise. So it's rarely translated this way, but when Jesus in his high priestly prayer says, I praise you, Father, that you have hidden this from the wise, but revealed it to babes, he's actually using the word confess. And so there's a confession of praise which results from receiving and believing the gospel. And that's where worship comes in as a confession. We receive the great gifts in the divine service, and we praise. And then also, as we leave church, we live lives of praise and thanksgiving, confessing his name in word and deed.
And what is the connection between that threefold aspect of confession and what we were talking about before, Matt, our baptism into Christ?
Baptism is the linchpin. Baptism ties us to Jesus. Baptism says to us, your sins are forgiven, and yet it is a daily washing. We are to rise daily and walk with Christ, Romans 6. We are to be drowned daily and arise, small catechism on baptism. Baptism is the linchpin. Confession, Luther says, is simply an extension of the doctrine of baptism. It's daily living as a Christian. Even though baptism has happened at one point in the past, we don't have a rear-view mirror view of baptism as though it happens and it's our act and now we continue on with other things to try to get holy. No, baptism, like the cross itself, comes to us at a point in time, and yet its effects are enduring, and we daily come back to it when we repent, plunge our sinful selves. Rather, God plunges our sinful selves into the metaphorical water, and we continue on as forgiven. And then as people baptized, we know we're baptized into the content of the faith. We know the Christ we're baptized into. We confess him in the creed. That's why the Apostles' Creed is known as the Baptism Creed. Confesses Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We had a couple of confirmations this past Sunday and a baptism at my home church. And of course, we ask those confirmed and to be baptized, an adult to be baptized, we ask, what is your faith? And they recite the creed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then baptism is the anchor for a life of praise. I've been claimed by Christ, all of me, and I'm strengthened by Christ, and I go out, not fearing, but go out with a certain wild abandon, free to live my life, not fearing, not huddling a corner, but baptized, I go out and live my life and my vocation in joy.
We don't have to do this alone. I want you to return here as we wrap up to something that you write about early in your article, and that is, it is good for us to realize that we are here, that we don't have the luxury of living when we want to, but God has placed us here and now. in our baptism. But we do have those who have gone before us, those previous generations of Christians, who have experienced like things, who have made the good confession. Why is it so important for us to continue to listen to them?
I find great joy in reading about and reading the writings and thoughts of those who have come before. And it reminds me that most often I'm reminded, there's nothing new under the sun, that saints before have suffered the most excruciating and difficult circumstances, rejection, death, persecution. They've been harried about the earth, driven out, rejected. Quite often, when people say things about the fathers of the Missouri Synod, fathers and mothers of the Missouri Synod, or the early years, they have no idea what they're talking about. When they say that such and such was easier then or less problematic in days gone by, all you have to do is read a little bit about what Walter faced. Right when they got off the boat, by the way, in St. Louis, where the arch is right now, they were met with a barrage of rejection. The German community was a very liberal community. They rejected them right away. They were being lambasted already in the newspapers. Walter himself saw the degradation and the sexual license in St. Louis and thought, oh, we are at the last times. Luther thought the same thing in Wittenberg and was very frustrated by the end of his life about the morals in Wittenberg. He thought it was close at hand. The Lord would return soon. Augustine felt the same way. Every Christian has. So it gives us consolation that, and I think just like the Lord has designed the aging process in the wake of sin to cause us to repent and realize that we are going to spend eternity somewhere, I think he's designed the way we live in history to remind us in every age as Christians that we have no enduring home here in this world, and we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth and a resurrection.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Baptized for This Moment. Matt, keep up the good work. Thank you very much.
You too, Todd. God bless.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker, both to end and to continue the next hour of Issues, etc. We'll be in John chapter 21, just when you think John's gospel is coming to an end, when he wraps it all up by saying, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. Could have ended right there with Jesus' first appearance to his disciples, actually his second, then to Thomas. He adds a third, this one, up by the Sea of Tiberias, and a miraculous catch of fish. We'll talk about all of that with Pastor Tom Baker right after this.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Well, you know, you sometimes hear from people that the liturgy itself is a barrier to reaching out with the Word of God and the goodness of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's just a bunch of baloney.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation, Classical Christian Worship, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, this summer in Collinsville, Illinois.
The liturgy itself is overwhelmingly the very word of God by which the outreach takes place. And it is an incredibly crafted balance of stuff that stays the same and of stuff that changes. So it has stability and variety automatically built into it, and it frees up the pastor to work on proclaiming the mystery of Christ that particular liturgy is holding up for the people on that day. I think it's a great outreach tool rather than thinking of it as something that's a barrier.
Register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois at issuesetc.org.